Friends, Peter didn't exactly make a good first impression when he got into the boat, when Jesus got into his boat. He questioned dropping his nets, as they hadn't caught any fish all night. He was oblivious to who Christ was for quite some time. And once he realized that the divinity was standing in his boat, he quickly deemed himself unworthy. And even still, Jesus called Peter a disciple and a friend. Church family, hear and believe this good news. You can make 1,000 different impressions. You can make every mistake in the book and assume that you know better. And even still, Christ will forgive you, claim you, and continue to seek your heart. This is the good news of the gospel. Rest, celebrate, and trust in that. Amen. For Lent, we will use a spoken prayer for illumination of the scripture rather than a sung one. So join me now in this prayer for illumination. Creator God, we need to hear your word, O God, for we cannot live on bread alone. So today we pray, give us the ability to truly listen. Give us the ability to listen with our hearts. And may the truths revealed in your scripture today change us. With hearts full of gratitude, we pray. Amen.
Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. I offer my life to you, Lord. My God, I trust you. Please don't let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies rejoice over me. For that matter, don't let anyone who hopes in you be put to shame. Instead, let those who are treacherous without excuse be put to shame. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. Teach it to me, because you are the God who saves me. I put my hope in you all day long. Lord, remember your compassion and faithful love. They are forever. And don't remember the sins of my youth or my wrongdoing. Remember me only according to your faithful love for the sake of your goodness, Lord. The Lord is good and does the right thing. He teaches sinners which way they should go. God guides the weak to justice, teaching them his way. All the Lord's paths are loving and faithful for those who keep his covenant and laws. May we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Open our ears, our eyes, our minds.
Please stand as you are able for the hearing of the gospel. Today's gospel is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret, when a crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. So Jesus boarded one of the boat that belonged to Simon, also known as Peter, also known as Simeon, also known as Cephas. Anyway. Then he asked Simon to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." And Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. But because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they too were amazed. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God living within us. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So, who is this man called Simon, Simeon, Peter, and Cephas? Well, we know a little bit about him, but let's see if we can practice, rehearse a little bit more. First of all, his name. The beginning of this gospel calls him Simon. At one point, he's called Simon Peter. And later on in the gospel, Jesus actually changes his name and says, "From now on, you will be called Peter." Names were important in ancient history, especially in the Middle East. If you remember from Hebrew scripture, Abram became Abraham. Words meant something and told something about the person who was named. So Abram, which is Hebrew for exalted father, and Abraham, which is more Hebrew for the father of or the ancestor of multitudes, calling Abram Abraham meant something. It meant something in Scripture because Abraham was, as God had promised him, the ancestor of multitudes. And if you remember the story of Jacob and Esau, Jacob and Esau were twins, and Esau came out first. But as he was coming out of his mother's womb, Jacob grabbed Esau's heel. And Jacob is interpreted to mean he who grasped the heel. But later in Scripture, the Hebrew Scripture, when they're talking about Jacob, they're calling Jacob Israel. Israel meaning God strives. So Peter, going from Simon and Simeon and Cephas to Peter, talks about Peter's personality. Peter, or in Greek, Petros, means a rock, something that is solid, something that you can depend on most of the time. And Peter is important because second to Jesus, Peter is named by one of those four names 181 times in the New Testament, more than anybody except Jesus. Peter was also a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. And being a fisherman, being fish, the economy of fish was important all around the Sea of Galilee. We know perhaps that Peter was from a town called Bethsaida, but right now no one has been able to find where that exactly is because the River Jordan and the lake have shifted over the millennia since Jesus' time. But basically, Peter was Peter. If we go back to a couple weeks ago, we had this same story of Jesus calling Peter and Andrew and James and John, calling them to be disciples. But in Mark writes things a little bit differently. Mark goes from Jesus, the fishermen getting out of their boat, and Jesus and the four disciples immediately following Jesus, just nothing in between. But Luke adds a little more to the story. And that comes if you start back in chapter 4. Jesus had gone out in the wilderness after his baptism, and then he had returned to the countryside. And Luke has Jesus teaching in various synagogues all along the way. He even went to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth. But in Nazareth, Jesus was actually booed out of town or told to leave. They didn't believe him and they didn't trust him. So Jesus kicked the dust or the sand off his boots, or sandals, I guess, and ended up in Capernaum. And there in Capernaum, he threw an unclean spirit out of a man, and he taught in the synagogue, and his fame became known. So it's very likely that Peter and Andrew and James and John had heard about this Jesus. But I think Simon, even before today's story, knew Jesus a little more than just having heard about him. Because right before today's story is the story of Jesus leaving the synagogue one day and going to Simon's house. And there in Simon's house, they found Simon's mother-in-law. Well, that in itself tells you that Simon Peter, was probably married. But Simon's mother-in-law was ill. And the story is about Jesus healing Simon's mother-in-law. So Simon Peter already knew a little bit about this man Jesus, but maybe he wasn't quite following him, because after all, he needed to make a living as a fisherman. So then we come to today's story. And what happens? Jesus is standing on the shore, and he's crowded with people. Have you ever been in a big crowd of people and just kind of, you either want them to back away or whatever, just leave me, you know. And Jesus is trying to teach, and it's kind of hard to teach when you're standing in a crowd of people. And quite frankly, I've always wondered how in the world Jesus could teach to a multitude of people without having any of the electronics that we have today. I don't think he had a bullhorn. I don't think he had a microphone. How was he heard? Maybe that's one of God's miracles, that the story, the message Jesus was trying to get across, was heard, even when he was a distance away. But no matter what, Jesus didn't want to be in that crowd or didn't want to be that close to that crowd. He wanted everyone to hear. So he got into Simon's boat. Now, I'm not sure, even if I had a real good friend who had a boat on a lake shore, that I would just go and climb in their boat unless they were there, unless I ask permission. The story says nothing about that. So maybe Jesus and Simon were good friends by now, that he was able to get in Simon's boat and then ask Simon, who evidently was on the shore cleaning his net, to row him out a little bit farther so he could teach from a distance all of these people. So he does, and the people heard him. But then what happened? You know, now picture this. I don't know if any of you are fishermen or any of commercial fishermen. You go out on a boat and you fish all night long and you're tired. And they were throwing nets. They were tossing nets off the back of the boat and hauling the fish in, but they hadn't caught anything. But that is tiring, even if you do it for a job and you've built up your muscles and you've built up your strength. You've worked all night long. And Jesus said, row out to the deep water. About that time, I probably would have said, yes, you're my friend, but can I go take a nap first? You know? But something made Peter say, Lord, we've already been fishing all night and didn't catch anything, but if you tell me to do this, since this is my friend telling me to do this, I will trust him. So what happens? They row out into the deep water, and they catch more fish than one boat can handle. They call in another boat. So two boats have come and caught all this fish, and even then, rowing those boats to shore and dragging those fish was a tough job. And Peter realizes somewhere along that trip, catching those fish and rowing them back to shore, there is something special about my friend Jesus. Maybe as our call to worship or our confession said, maybe that was the moment that Peter realized Jesus was a friend and Jesus was divine. That's not in the story, but something must have happened, because when Peter got off that boat, he said to Jesus, I am sorry. I am not worthy to be your friend. I did not trust you. As the young girl said this morning, trust, friendship requires trust. But what did Jesus do when Peter said, "I am not worthy"? Jesus said, "I'm seeking you anyway. I am calling you anyway to be my disciple." To Simon, to Andrew, to James, to John, "I am calling you anyway. You are worthy because of me. I am calling you." So what does it take for us to have a faith story like Peter? I think most of us do have that faith story. But when did that faith story start? Did it start when you were in a rocky boat? Something horrible going on in your life that you don't understand, and you prayed, and somehow, whether that situation was cleared up or not, you felt God's presence? I was asked this question many years ago when I had to write my faith story. And I didn't have a come to Jesus, as we say in the South, moment. I didn't have a come to Jesus moment. I didn't know that I was poor and a sinner and needed to be saved. That wasn't my faith story. My faith story was sitting on my grandfather's lap in the back of a small church, a Lutheran church with a pipe organ and a balcony and no air conditioning and the windows open, listening to this old German preacher preach every Sunday, although he was preaching in English. And I probably don't remember a word of what he said, but I remember my grandfather. And I remember the smell of his breath because he was forever chewing on horehound drops, which is kind of a licorice-y mint sort of weird smell, but I remember it, and it's a good smell. My faith story began then. Yours might have begun who knows where. Peter's faith story began that moment in the boat when he realized Jesus was something more than a friend. Oh, he was a friend, all right, but Jesus was more than that. So I ask you, what are some things that you remember when you think of friends? What are some things that we can all think about when we think about friends? And how can we be friends with Jesus? What does it take to be friends with Jesus? Jesus is already a friend of yours. Our scripture readings today and our song, which we may sing for the next 5 weeks, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." In that song is the line, "Jesus sought me." Jesus sought and is seeking every single one of you. He doesn't care what you did as a profession or what you're doing as a profession. He doesn't care about sins you may or may not have committed. Jesus is the living, embodied flesh and blood of God's grace. And that is our good news. So Jesus is seeking you to be his friend. What will it take for you to answer yes? Amen.